right, welcome to But You're Wrong. I'm Keith Bodella.
I am Greg DiNicola.
And we're recording this right after the last episode, 101, because, I mean, we could have put it off, but quite frankly, I just, I wanted to talk about Star Trek with you and get your thoughts, because I can't talk about it with anybody else. Well, I mean, I can talk about it with my fiance because we saw it together, but...
But she's abroad.
Well, we can't talk about it in the same way, because the things that bother me, she's like, why does that bother you? And I was like, because it does. It does bother me. And she's like, just shut up.
Now, does what bother you have anything to do with the lens flares?
I didn't think they were as intrusive this time around, but it did bother me a little bit. One time it really bothered me.
One of the people I was watching it with, we got out of it, and I mentioned lens flares. I think it was Chris, and he's like, yeah, I didn't even notice them. I was like, what the – you're getting way too used to J.J. Abrams, I think.
There was one part where I noticed it, and I mean, okay, obviously, since we're talking about a movie that's out in theaters, just you should know by now that there are many spoilers in when we talk about it.
Yeah. So don't be mad, or else you're stupid.
I mean, we waited longer than we did with Iron Man 3, though, so...
That's true. I mean, it's been out for like 2 weeks.
Yeah. So, the one scene where it really bothered me was when, what was her face? Marcus, the girl? Whatever her first name, Dr. Marcus?
Yeah. What's his face's daughter?
Yeah.
The Admiral's daughter.
RoboCop's daughter?
Yes.
We'll get to that in a second because I love that. But she was crying and trying to appeal to her father not to destroy the ship.
And she's on the bridge of his ship, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she's crying and she's doing a really good job acting. And then there's just like this huge lens flare in there. And I'm like, what are you doing?
There was so many lens flares on that ship, on the big ship, like just in the on the bridge. It was outrageous.
Of the new ship?
Yeah.
I didn't notice that many.
Like, there was a couple scenes of him talking, and like, it was, oh my god, it was crazy. It was like half the screen was a lens flare. And
there were honestly, a couple, yeah.
It didn't take me out of it. Like, I still enjoyed the hell out of it, and it still looked good, but it was intense with those lens flares.
I feel like it wasn't as intrusive as last time, but there were a couple that I thought were really bad.
Yeah. But yeah, that didn't bother me. Now, first off, I want to say overall, on a scale of 1 to 10, what would you rate the movie? Before, because you know we're going to get into this and we're going to be like, this was wrong, that was wrong. And it's going to sound like we didn't like it, even though we do.
Right now, I think I need to see it again.
Mm.
Right now, I would say probably a 7.5.
Okay. Well, that's pretty good.
I like the first one better, I think.
Okay. That's still pretty good. If 10 is like the best movie you've ever seen, 7.5 is pretty good.
Yeah, I would say 7.5 I would give it.
Okay. I would say that's fair. I'd probably give it around the same. I'd say 7.5, maybe close to an 8, but yeah, around there.
Okay. So we do enjoy it, and we highly recommend it to anyone that hasn't seen it, even though we're ruining everything. So
yeah.
You should have seen it, but I mean, it's we enjoyed it, but we are going to tear it apart now. I had one major problem, which I'll hold off to. I mean, do you want to go through the story a little bit and do it that way?
Sure.
So my fiance's one complaint, one of her, she had a few complaints, but one of her minor ones was in the beginning, she was kind of hoping that the aliens that they're helping would play more of a role in it. Cause they looked really cool. And they seemed really interesting, but
you know what they reminded me of the natives in the King Kong remake.
I never saw the latest one.
Oh, really? Okay, yeah, they kind of reminded me of that.
But I'll believe you.
Yeah.
They were a little. I wish they were in it a little bit more.
Yeah.
The thing that I really liked about them, though, was I noticed that their eyes, they had that second set of eyelids kind of thing.
Oh, like on the side? Yeah.
No, like their eye blinked even with their eyes open. Like, their human eyelids didn't blink. Like, they had other eyelids that blinked. Were they on the sides? Or
I don't know. I'm not sure.
But
that's kind of what I was thinking. But
it was like a nice little. I thought they went the other way, but I could be wrong. But yeah, they had like a nice little like extra component to them.
Yeah,
and it was a nice little attention to detail, which I thought was pretty cool. I liked all of that. I liked how they were like, listen, like this is the Prime Directive. Like we can't do this. And he's like, well, fuck the Prime Directive. And because they would always talk about the Prime Directive, especially in Next Generation, and Picard was always balking the Prime Directive.
Right.
Even though he was like, listen, like he would go in his room, in his office, tea Earl Grey hot, and then he would sit there and be like, but I can't break the Prime Directive. Ah, fuck it, let's break the Prime Directive.
Right.
So I kind of liked like them bringing that into it, because that wasn't mentioned at all in the first one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, definitely not.
I thought it was very strange that they had the ship underwater.
Yeah, I thought that was a little bit weird.
But that was cool, because that was something that we hadn't seen before.
Yeah, you figure it's airtight, because it's got to go into space. It could probably go underwater, as long as the engines work.
Yeah. The one thing that was. And it did see, it was like the kind of like renegade thinking that Kirk would do. Like, he'd be like, all right, let's figure this out. Why can't we just hide it under the water?
Yeah.
Although, they were all worried about the Prime Directive, and they were like, we can't. Like, they led the natives to the to where the ship was, essentially.
Right.
And then they were like, we have to get out of the water in order to save Spock, but then the aliens are going to see our ship, but they would have to get out of the water anyway in order for them to go into space. Plus, they would have to hide it in the water to begin with, which I feel like the aliens would probably notice.
Unless maybe they did it at night.
I know, but there's a lot of lights on that thing.
That's true. It is a pretty big and bright ship.
Unless they treated it like a... Unless they were able to do it like a submarine and actually, like, go underwater somewhere else and then just move along under the water to begin with.
Yeah.
But still, I was like, I don't know if I fully buy how they were able to hide this, but okay, whatever. But that all I liked. And then Spock saving the day and getting teleported up there was pretty cool.
Now, the whole thing, though, and they bring it up once they get back to Star Command there, is that they really shouldn't have been altering the volcano either, though.
Well, yeah. That's part of the problem with the Prime Directive, too.
Which it shouldn't, yeah, exactly. Like, they shouldn't have even really been there to begin with. So, you know, you think about it, Kirk really wasn't in the wrong, because he was just, I mean, they were already going against the rules.
Yeah. And I mean, yes, like, now the beings are going to worship a certain symbol or whatever, but really, I mean, that doesn't, it's not like, because to me, the Prime Directive was always like, we can't go and talk to them and tell them that there are, like, there are planets beyond, like, their own and whatever.
They need to figure it out for themselves.
Yeah. So, they didn't really do any of that. They just kind of appeared, so now they're going to worship, like, I guess they're going to worship a different god or whatever. Although, probably they did start like some kind of civil war and bloodbath, because there's going to be the people that believe in the old religion and then the other one that believe in this new one.
The new church and the old church.
Yeah, and there's going to be, you know, deaths for thousands of years while they try to figure out that they can all just get along, so...
Mm.
All right, you know what? Maybe Kirk wasn't the wrong.
Maybe a little.
But I thought that that whole opening was a really good way of setting up Kirk and Spock's still troubled relationship. And still, like, becoming friends, because they don't... Because Kirk's all pissed off because Spock filed the report.
Yep.
And Spock's like, well, I'm just being honest. Like, you shouldn't have come back for me or whatever. So... Like, that, it set up that, it set up, it set up the idea of Spock dying.
Yep.
It set up kind of the prime directive and the idea of, like, this is purely exploration that we're in the business of. Like, that's really mainly what we're about, is just exploring stuff and checking it out.
Right.
So I thought it did a really good job opening up, setting up all that stuff.
I thought it did, too. I actually really liked the opening.
And then,
You had problems.
No, I'm trying. I didn't really have that many problems to start off with. My problems more came towards the end. Did you have problems at the beginning? Towards the beginning?
Not really.
So Kirk loses the Enterprise
again,
and it goes to Pike. And then Pike makes him first officer, again. And then there's the bombing, which is that's actually the opening, isn't it?
Yes.
Is the bombing or like the setup of it?
Yeah.
I'm trying to remember when that comes into play now. There's the bombing in London. All done by an unnamed man who. It turns out to be, they call him John Harrison, but then it all turns out to be Khan, which yep. I knew from the beginning.
You know, I kept myself from reading anything about it, but yeah, I mean, I pretty much knew it was gonna be, but I tried to save myself from reading too much.
I didn't read too much, but like they were talking about it so far in advance.
Mm-hmm.
And then they were like it just everything just kind of kept hinting at it, and people were saying, oh, it's probably his kind, and I was really hoping that it wouldn't be.
Yeah.
But then it was.
Now, I never hoped that it wouldn't be. I don't know. I guess I just wanted to be a little bit surprised.
I mean, I got giddy about it being Khan a little bit when they actually said it, and I was like, oh, it is. But then I was like, well, I don't know. I kind of wish it was they had done something different.
Yeah.
But I'll get into that later, because that's more of my problem with the end. Like, I thought it was really cool that then they had the meeting, and then Khan comes in the ship and starts shooting up the room, and Kirk figures it out first,
mm-hmm.
but then everybody still dies, or a lot of people still die. In that, Pike dies. Spock does the creepy thing where he mind melds with the dying man.
Yeah.
And then Kirk's like, I want to go after him. So RoboCop, Admiral Marcus, who I just love that it was RoboCop.
Peter Weller. Yeah.
Yes. Cause he was really good. I thoroughly enjoyed him being in his role.
Yeah, he was excellent.
As basically the other villain in
there. Yeah, he was like the villain number two in it.
So then they have to go to Klingon, the Kronos, the Klingon planet. Now how did you feel about the Klingon sequence?
I probably found that sequence to be the most boring sequence of the movie.
Even when Khan showed up and started kicking ass?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I honestly didn't really care about it that much. Not, it wasn't terrible. Like, I didn't find it bad. I just, for an action sequence and the introduction, kind of the introduction of Khan, it didn't really, I don't know. I found it much more interesting once they got back on the ship and they were talking to him.
Yeah, you know what? I think I agree with that. Because here's the thing. They introduced the Klingons.
Yeah.
And the one thing that I thought was really cool was the way that they did the subtitles when she was speaking Klingon.
Yeah.
That was very, because they didn't do it like, you know, you normally see subtitles in a movie. It was different, and I really liked that. But, like, it was almost like they didn't really need to include the Klingons. Like, I get it. Like, I get that that it makes sense for Khan to go to the one place that they wouldn't go to.
Right.
And I guess I get that they were trying to go to... He was trying to get them to bring out this secret ship. And, like, he was trying to be bait and, like, dare them to bring out this top-secret ship, which would be able to handle the mission out towards, like, Klingon.
Yeah.
And that was his plan by going to this uninhabited region of the Klingon homeworld. But it just seemed, like, unnecessary, because then the Klingons show up, and they start talking, and there's a chase scene or whatever, and the Klingons are there, and then, you know, Khan shows up and takes out all the Klingons, he surrenders, and then that's it.
But it could have been anyone. The Klingon, I felt like the Klingons were, they did it just... I felt like the whole Klingon thing was, it was done because they were like, well, you know, we got to be careful, you know, because we don't want to start a war with the Klingons and all this shit. And when it actually got down to it, when they were actually interacting with the Klingons and everything, it was so inconsequential. Like, they could have gone to any planet with just hostile inhabitants.
Yeah.
They did not have to go to Kronos.
Yeah, and, like, I imagine that... I mean, things are pretty dicey with the Romulans, too, and they've already introduced the Romulans, so why not be, like, he's on a planet in Romulan space?
Right.
Like, I would have almost preferred that, because then it was just, like, a letdown. They were like, these are the Klingons. And I was like, okay, cool. Oh, they're dead now. Maybe they'll come back. Nope.
It made absolutely no difference.
Yeah. I kind of get it, but at the same point, I'm like, I don't know. I don't think it played out the way they wanted it to.
Right.
So they do that and Khan surrenders. And I think you're right. Like, once they get back to the ship and they're talking to Khan, it's a lot more interesting.
Yes. I found some of those scenes when they were talking with him and everything to be some of the best of the movie.
Yeah. And now they find out that he's Khan once he's on the ship, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
He
tells them, right?
He says, yeah, he doesn't tell them till they're on the ship.
Okay. Because I was operating under the assumption that it was Khan. Up until that point.
Right.
And I was looking for reasons for it maybe not to be Khan, but I was like, all right, it's probably Khan. And then when he was like, the Admiral gives him all these missiles. And he's like, there are top secret missiles on here. And you can't open them, you can't know what's in them, but here are the missiles that you're going to shoot across, like, to the Klingon homeworld to kill this guy, and it'll be fine. But then once he's like, well, how many missiles did he give you? And he's like, 72, and then he's like, I surrender immediately. I was like, oh, shit, like, it's probably his other people. Because Khan always has people.
Right.
So I'm like, oh, shit, it's probably his people in the fucking torpedoes or whatever they call them, missiles.
They might actually call them torpedoes.
But, like, and that, I think that's where I kind of started to have some issues with being like, all right, well, it's Khan, so I know, like, to expect certain things. So, like, the people in the missiles wasn't a huge surprise to me.
Yeah. I was expecting something weird anyway, so I wasn't.
Yeah, like, I was expecting it to be something dangerous and, like, something, because, like, Scotty's like, don't fucking do it. I didn't like how Scotty was the only one that he's like, I have the formula for transwarp beaming. I gave it to Starfleet, and then this guy suddenly has it? Like, that doesn't seem right. And nobody else really caught that. And even Kirk was like, all right, yeah, no, that's fine, whatever.
Yeah, no one else really questions it or anything.
But I guess at that point, Kirk was so fired up, he was like, well, fuck it, I'm just going to go kill this guy.
Yeah. Well, after he killed Pike.
Yeah. So, because Pike was basically then his father. Like, Pike replaced his father, because he didn't have a father in this universe.
Mm-hmm.
So then we find out that the people are in there, and after, what happens after that? I'm trying to think now.
So they find out that the people are in there, and then Peter Weller arrives.
Does it happen that fast?
Yeah, I think so. And he confronts... Yeah, doesn't it? And then he confronts.
Oh yeah, because
to hand over Khan.
Yeah, because they find out that the people are in there, and then he has a nice scene with Khan where Khan cries because everybody. Yeah. Rachel pointed out everybody in order to be in that movie must have been forced to cry on command before they, because there's a lot of like sudden crying in it with like actual tears and stuff.
There was a lot of crying.
So unless they went in and did that with a computer.
Mm-hmm.
That was pretty intense. But so Khan cries and he's like, he used my people against me and whatever. And this is what's going on. And then all of a sudden, the other ship shows up.
Yeah.
And they're
which could wipe out the Enterprise.
Yeah, and they almost do. I think initially they show up and I thought that they just started shooting. They don't. They drop out. And they hail him, and they're like, give me Khan. And Kirk's like, no, I'm not going to do that. And then the guy goes, all right, fuck you. And starts to fire on the ship. And then his daughter's like, wait, Dad, I'm here. And even I was like, wait a minute. He's just going to teleport you off of there. Like, why would you even bother going through all of this? He's just going to teleport you off. And then he did. And then they just about destroy the ship. And then, is that when Scotty saves him?
Well, see, they did go through warp space because they tried to get away.
Oh, that's right.
But when they caught up with them, knocked him out of warp space or whatever, because they can go faster. They have a faster drive or whatever. And so then they end up next to the moon. And that's where the final battle, which lasts for a goddamn hour between all the different things going on, takes place.
Right.
And this is where I start to have a couple issues with the movie.
Okay.
But, all right, so I think my number one issue with the film is that there's too much jumping around. And I honestly feel that when recalling back to the incidents that happen, it's sometimes hard to keep track of what happened where and what the chronological order was, because a lot of times there was no actual resolution to the issues shown. It just literally, like, you'd get to a point, you'd snap your fingers, and it would go to the next scene and be like, hey, we're back, everyone. Problem solved. I mean,
I agree that jumped around a lot.
That happens several times in this movie.
But I can't think of an instance where they jumped and they were like, problem solved, everybody.
What about, I mean, it happened at the end with,
Oh no! Yeah, it happens at the very end.
Yeah, it happens in the end with Kirk.
It happens at the very.
It happens
very
at the end with Spock killing with Khan.
Okay.
He's just like, all right, well, all set. Spock took care of it.
Yeah. Okay. At the very end, you're right. Yes. At the very end, everything jumps ahead, and they're like, no, everything's cool. Don't worry about it.
Yeah. There was no, like, they never, no, it happens in other less crucial instances than those, but it definitely happened a few times in the film where it's just like, all right, problem resolved. Like, you can assume that they fixed the problem in this way because that's what we were leading to, but they never show the resolution. And I almost feel it's hard to call back what the progression of the film was because they – sometimes I'm like, wait, where did that happen? Oh, okay, yeah, I guess they went right to that scene after that, even though you don't really recall what happened.
Okay, I agree that they jumped around. It's hard to recall what happened. But I never got the feeling of being like, shit, I don't know what happened with that. There was no resolution in there.
It's not that there was no resolution, but here's the thing. The movie was already long. I mean, how long was it? 2.5 hours?
Something like that, I think, yeah.
Okay. Now, there was a few points in that movie where, you know, there was some funny scenes. There was some good callbacks to old Star Trek shit. There was a lot of good stuff, but there was also quite a few things that, I mean, for instance, the whole thing on Kronos, really, I mean, the whole chase and everything was so inconsequential that they really didn't need to take the time to do that. And then later on, it was like their pacing was off. They were like, oh, well, we can't spend all this time resolving this big fight between Scotty and Khan, even though, you know, the whole buildup was that Khan told – not Scotty and Khan. What am I talking about? Spock and Khan, where Khan told Spock that he would never be able to kill someone and all this. And it was like it would be a big change to his character and all that. And it's like rather than take the time to resolve that properly, they put time into other sequences that I felt like were way less fruitful.
Yeah, well, I agree and no, I disagree.
Like, okay.
I never really got the feeling that the pacing was off until like the very end where it just kind of ended. I got the feeling, but that Kronos scene was kind of inconsequential, and like they spent a long time on it. Like stuff came out of it, so I never got the feeling watching the movie where I was like, "This is really long." Like this scene is really long. Like this could probably get cut out. Like I didn't really have that feeling until I thought about it.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. I never really, like I said, I never got the feeling that the pacing was off or that it like was running slow. Because stuff comes out of that scene on Kronos that I think is important. Like I said, I'm not sure why they chose like the Klingon homeworld, except for just being like, hey, look, we introduced Klingons.
Yeah,
isn't that cool, guys? Right, Klingons? Anybody? And then I was like, all right, well, I mean, unless they want to put Klingons in the next movie. But
that remains to be seen.
But I also can't think of a time besides the very end where they were like, this is the resolution to this problem that we were having. I never got the feeling like all of a sudden, like something just resolved itself. But But besides that, so they do the big ship to ship battle, and Kirk and Khan team up, which I thought was a nice touch.
Yeah, that was fine.
To go over to the other ship to take it over. And Kirk is smart enough that once they go over there and they find out that Scott, or once they find Scotty over there, that Kirk is smart enough to go, well, actually, I think we're helping Khan. So, like, as soon as we take the bridge, you take him out.
Yeah.
And I liked all that. I liked how Khan quickly came to and crushed the Admiral's head.
Mm-hmm.
That was pretty cool. I enjoyed that. And then the part in there that really, really bothered me, and is probably, it's my number one complaint within the film, but then I have a larger complaint about the film itself.
Okay.
My number one complaint is that Spock calls Spock Prime.
Wait, what?
Spock.
Yeah. Oh, that he calls him.
He calls Spock Prime. He's like, hey, can we call New Vulcan? And she's like, yeah. And I was like, oh, no. Please don't let this happen. And then he calls New Vulcan and talks to Spock Prime. And there's a whole scene where he's like, tell me, in your travels, have you ever come across a man named Khan? And Spock Prime's like, oh, shit. And he's like, well, I took a vow never to tell you anything about what happened to me so that you could lead your own path. But let me tell you something. Khan is one bad motherfucker. And he's like, well, did you beat him? Yes, with great loss. Well, how? And then they cut away.
Yeah.
And
like
then,
they always do.
Okay, so maybe that's one instance that I can see what you're talking about. But my bigger problem is just that even call Spock Prime to begin with. But my assumption is that Spock Prime then goes like, listen, I told you I wouldn't tell you this, but I'm going to break this vow. Because here's what happened. And then he just, in my mind, he just relays the plot to Star Trek II, The Wrath of Khan, to this Spock. And it's like, listen.
Do you have about 2 hours? I have this VHS here.
Yeah, like, listen, this is what happened, all right? So we met, because, well, it would be 3 hours, because he also has to tell him about what happened in the first episode of the original series when they first meet Khan.
That's true.
So he's like, listen, this is what happened when we first found him. All right. And then what happened was that they thought they were on City Alpha 6, but they were actually on City Alpha 5. All right. So then they put these earworms in to Chekhov. Sorry, Chekhov, I know you're there somewhere, but... And then this black dude, whose name escapes me at the time, this other black dude, all right? Then they take over Karl Marcus's ship, all right, that has Kirk's son on there, all right? Because the Genesis Project, you'll learn about that later, maybe in episode three, in the third movie. But so Khan wants the Genesis planet. I don't know why. Doesn't really make sense. But he wants that. So then all this other stuff happens. Our ship's badly damaged. I go in to try and do something with the crystals or whatever. I get radiation sickness. I die. Now, even if he just literally just tells him the plot of episode of the second movie, the next question that this Spock has to ask Spock Prime is that how are you alive? So then Spock Prime has to explain that because he was on the Genesis planet, his body was reborn, and he had to go through, was that Pong Far again or whatever? And then he was tied to the planet, so they had to get off of there. But then the Klingons, and he's like, you met those, I know you did. Klingons killed Kirk's son, all right? Christopher Lloyd was there, it was very confusing. But then they had to go and get bones, because my mind was in bones. So we figured all that stuff out, then we had to go get some whales. Is that about summing it up? And Spock's just sitting there like, I guess so.
Now, do you have a problem with the fact that whole sequence would have had to have happened, or the fact that they have the two timelines going at the same time.
My problem is that I felt like it was completely unnecessary, because if Spock is as smart as, if this Spock is as smart as Spock was in the previous timeline, he should have been able to figure out that, like, Khan's weakness is his people.
Yeah.
And that's what they can use against him.
Well, that's true. Like, he shouldn't have needed anyone to tell him that.
Yeah, like, it doesn't make sense that Spock was like, listen, I really need to talk to this other guy. It seemed like it was forced, and they were like, let's just get Leonard Nimoy in this other movie again. It took me out of it a little bit, where I was like, this just seems completely unnecessary. And then it undoes the end, because I feel like at some point in there, well, at one point, like, Kirk is like, what would Spock do if, like, and he does this at the beginning, and he's like, what would Spock do if it was me? And he's like, well, Bones is like, well, he'd let you die. Of course he would. Yeah. And then there's another part later on where Kirk does something, and Spock's like, how'd you come up with that? And he was like, well, I just thought about what you would do.
Yeah.
And I think there's a part where Spock is like, well, I just thought about what you would do, like, as Kirk. Because he's like, listen, I got emotions too and shit. Like, I don't let that shit go. But before that, I think he's like, I figured I'd do what you do. Or whatever. Or, like, I think that's what he says, like, when after he transports the torpedoes over, and Kirk's like, that was smart. And he's like, I just did what you would do. So, like, I feel like that, if he was like, well, I thought about what you would do, and I figured out that, you know, you would use Khan's weakness against him and exploit it. Like, I feel like anything that moment kind of has is completely lost, because you're like, well, I feel like he just did it because Spock Prime, like, gave him some advice. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It just seems unnecessary, and it seemed really forced to have Spock Prime show up, because I felt like taking that out wouldn't change anything at all and would make the ending almost better.
Okay. Yeah. I had another issue with when they were having a little space battle there.
Yeah.
And the ships lost control and everything.
It falls for a really long time.
Okay, well, first off, it falls for a really long time. But here's the thing. First off, they were right next to the moon. They should have gotten pulled into the moon. They would not have gotten pulled into the Earth. Second of all...
Well, maybe, but they moved to try and line up the ships. So they were moving away from the moon, I think.
Yeah, I don't think they moved that far, though.
I don't know. I'm a little unclear about, but I see your point.
The other thing. All right, so... Yeah, but then it only takes, like... It only takes, like, 10 minutes for them to fall from basically at the moon into the Earth. That's like a 3-day trip.
Yeah, I mean, they were. That's what I'm saying. I don't think they were as close to the moon as you think they were.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, I have to watch it again. That bothered me a little bit. I think it was just so that they could get that shot of the Enterprise coming out of the clouds. Because they couldn't have done that on the moon.
That's true.
I don't know. I really liked it. There's a lot of things I can sit here and, like... I don't know if it's even nitpicking, because I think that there were some issues that were legit enough, you know, that are legit enough for us to bring up and complain about.
I mean, honestly, my biggest problem is the Spock sequence. That's my biggest problem within the movie. Because I really like after that, I like how they did the twist on Wrath of Khan and it's Kirk that goes into the radiation chamber to fix the ship.
Yeah.
And then they have the same moment, but in reverse.
Right.
And I liked how they were like, shit, Khan just crashed the ship into San Francisco, and we need his blood to stay alive, which isn't... I like the blood thing, because that means that episode 3 is not the search for Kirk.
Yeah, I agree.
But I kind of saw it coming.
Oh, yeah. As soon as
Kirk goes into the radiation chamber.
Well, honestly, as soon as he was talking about using the regenerating blood on... I forget what those little furry things are called.
The Tribbles.
Yeah, the Tribble. As soon as he mentions that, I was like, oh, plot point, setting up for a plot point later on. Can't wait to see who needs this. And then obviously, as soon as Kirk went into... I was like, okay, here we go. Bones, break out some of the blood.
Yeah. When he was like, Bones, what are you doing with that Tribble? I was like, all right, that seems a little much. But then I just kind of ignored it. But then as soon as he went in, I was like, oh, okay, here's where the blood comes back.
It's called foreshadowing.
I thought they were going to have more, but then he was like, there's none left.
I know, like, what did he do with all of it?
I know, he took a good amount of blood. But I was like, all right, well, I guess he injected it all into the Tribble.
Well, that's a little weird.
But anyway, and the Tribble took a really long time to wake up.
I know.
But anyway.
But we don't know how long Kirk took because we're just jumping from scene to scene.
Yeah, they capture. So I liked how Spock was like, got all vengeful and was like, send me the fuck down there right now.
Yeah.
And he goes down and he starts going after Khan and has a decent chase and battle with him.
And yeah, then, it's okay.
And then Uhura comes down because they have their little romance and she was all upset about him not caring about dying. And then he said that he actually did care. So then she was like, okay, well, I'll go save him.
Yeah.
Which, like, okay, I get... I get why they were like, okay, we gotta send Uhura down because she's very close to him. And you know, it shows like her strength as a female character. But I feel like there was probably a better choice to send down there.
Someone a little more qualified
to fight a 300-year-old Superman.
Yeah, I agree.
I feel like somebody could have gone down there. Like that bald guy that was creepy and just standing on the bridge the whole time.
Oh, with the voice.
Yeah, he was a robot, right?
I guess he had that thing on the top of his head.
I assumed he was like an early version of Data. So I'm thinking that maybe unless he was just like there to stand and like be the voice of the computer, he might have been a good choice to send down because who knows? Like robots are super strong, right? They probably built a strong robot.
Well, I'm sure that they could have built a strong robot, yeah.
But anyway, I get it. I'm just thinking about it in hindsight. I mean, there probably could have been a better choice to send down.
Yeah, yeah.
Also, why does Khan need to be alive for the blood? Couldn't they have just, like, withdrawn the blood and then immediately injected it to him? I guess they were saying, like, listen, don't vaporize him. But really, like, let's say they broke Khan's neck.
Right. It's not like his blood disappears.
Yeah, his blood's in there. But I guess they were afraid that, like, it had to be fresh or something.
Fresh.
They're like, we need fresh blood. But anyway, but yeah, they capture him, and then all of a sudden, they're just like, oh, well, everything's fixed.
Yep.
Like, they do that scene, they capture him, they do the scene where,
when Kirk's in the hospital.
Yeah, they just do the scene where Kirk's in the hospital.
Yeah, it was like he's in there, like he just had his tonsils out or something.
And then I'm like, what happened to Khan? And I was a little surprised that Kirk wasn't like, so what happened to Khan?
Yeah, you would have thought that maybe he would have been a little concerned.
They just kind of all went along with like, okay, like Khan's somewhere. And then we find out at the very end that he's just back in a cryo tube again, just hanging out.
Yeah, hanging out with top men.
Yeah, he's back in Section 13 or whatever their secret thing was called.
Yeah, and then
he'll be back.
And then of course they do the Kirk walking on board, you know, classic lens flares everywhere. All right, Mr. Sulu, let's take her out. Blah 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 blah. Everything's wrapped up all nicely in the end. And you know what? That's cool. Like, I'm glad everything got worked out. I'm glad that they're all alive. I'm glad that there's going to be another one and all that shit. But you know what? It was a little too neatly wrapped, and it was done so through weird pacing. Like, yeah,
like, if they had cut it off, if they had cut down the chase scene on Kronos and put that to dragging Khan back into sickbay and then him taking the blood from Khan and injecting it straight into Kirk.
And then
them all like standing there like praying that it works and then like fade out on that. Like do a slow pull back and a fade out and then fade in on Kirk waking up in the hospital. That would have been a little bit better, I think.
Yeah, I completely agree. I felt like they wasted a little bit of time here, just here and there. Like nothing, and that's the problem. Like if you want me to sit there and tell you, other than maybe the Kronos scene, but if you want me to tell you a scene that was completely useless, I can't really say that because there was no bad scenes and there was no
except Spock Prime.
Okay. But there's another example. That didn't even need to happen. So, you know, you got 5 minutes here, 5 minutes here that you could have cut out, and then it would have made the ending more enjoyable and more, I don't know.
If you had put that time back into the end.
Yeah, exactly. That's my biggest complaint, is that I felt like they wasted too much time early on and didn't have enough time at the end because, like, oh, well, you know, we can't make this movie any longer than 2.5 hours. And, you know, that's true. The movie shouldn't be any longer than 2.5 hours. But, you know, you probably shouldn't have wasted so much goddamn time in the middle and the beginning.
Yeah. Yeah, even if they hadn't done that, but they had just thrown in an extra, like, 2 minutes somewhere in there, I would have been like, you know what, I like this a little bit better.
Yeah. But that's my biggest problem with it. I felt like the pacing and the lack of resolution, or not even resolution, just the progression to the resolution. That was my complaint. Other than that, I really liked it. I thought the acting was great. I thought the story was great. I liked that they played with a little twists on the original.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it looked awesome. There's other than that pacing issue, I really don't think I'd change anything.
Yeah, I liked like the twist. I liked how like Starfleet was kind of evil.
Yeah, I liked that they showed that even the good guys were a little
evil.
Not,
Admiral Marcus wanted to start the war with Klingons,
right?
And like wanted that to happen and. I feel like everything was set up very nicely. Like, I liked that twist. I liked the twist that Kirk is the one that dies. I liked Spock being the one that yells Khan.
Yeah.
But, like, I guess my biggest problem overall, and while it's a very enjoyable movie, and I thoroughly enjoyed it, and I will own it and watch it many times, but part of me just really wishes that they had done something different.
Mm.
Because parts of it, especially towards the end, really do feel like a remake of Wrath of Khan.
Yeah.
And they really had the opportunity to do like literally anything that they wanted to. And it just, I don't know, it was almost kind of a letdown where I was just like, oh, okay, so we're doing like Khan again. And like, if I want, I don't know. I like Wrath of Khan so much that like I like that Khan story better than this one.
So it's not like right because Wrath of Khan was a good movie. It's not like they took an old idea and made it better necessarily. I mean, obviously it looks prettier and all that shit.
Yeah.
And it's more modern, but it's not like they took a kind of shitty movie and made it good now. It's like they took a good movie and made it again good, but
like
it's not like you would necessarily be like, well, I gotta watch the new one.
Yeah, it wasn't like they took like a old episode, or they took the Undiscovered Country.
Yeah,
and they were like, we're going to try to improve upon this and take this gem of an idea and make it better. We're gonna take the most
well liked one.
Yeah, like the most well known story idea and villain in all of Star Trek that even people that don't really like Star Trek that much knows about, and we're going to just basically remake it. And like, they put twists on it, yes, but then by the end it was kind of the same thing. Two ships fighting, the Enterprise is badly damaged, somebody needs to give up their life for it, that person dies. Khan tries to use his ship to destroy the other one. I mean, it was very, very similar. And I really was hoping that it would be something different. Because I like seeing things and it being different now. Like, I've seen so many movies at this point, and I've seen so much stuff in my life that really, by this, I'm at the point where I'm just like, look, I don't have time for everything.
Yeah.
So I want to spend my time on the unique
things. Give me something I haven't seen before.
Which is part of the reason I really liked Iron Man 3. Because it was, it was different. It was, everything worked, but it was unexpected what was being presented to me.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. It's kind of like if, it's like if Disney did, you know, when Disney comes out with the new Star Wars movies and they're like, well, yeah, well, we're going to, you know, we're going to start off and we're going to do A New Hope and an Empire to start off with. And it's like, why would you do that? Those don't need to be remade.
Yeah,
you know?
It's like, okay,
let's get some new stories going here. Or if you're going to remake one, remake the bad ones.
It's, you know, it'd be like this. It'd be like it with the Star Wars ones. If they figured out a way to start like another, basically do like an alternate universe Star Wars, and the first one's completely different.
Yeah.
And then they're like, oh man, now like the new, like there's this other dark side, like Sith Lord in the second one. And, you know, he looks like total badass. And then they're like, by the way, it's Luke's father. And you're just like, all right. I mean, like, I kind of assumed it would be. And now, basically, you're remaking Empire Strikes Back because Luke is hanging in a cloud from a TV antenna.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, well, all right.
But then again, unless it was, I mean, why would you watch that version? Why wouldn't you just watch the old one? Because you already love the old one.
Yeah. Because the thing is, like, there's great parts in Wrath of Khan that I love where they literally outsmart Khan.
Mm-hmm.
And that doesn't really happen in this one, it seems like. Like, it kind of does, but to me, it's overshadowed because I feel like Spock was like, hey, Spock Prime was like, hey, listen, I got an idea for you. Like, use what's important against him. Because maybe I'm interpreting that scene all wrong, but to my recollection, the scene is literally like, I won't tell you, but it was with great cost. And this Spock is like, well, how'd you do it? And then it cuts away. And and that leads me to think that Spock Prime was like, I got something for you. Listen, like, Khan has a real hard on for his people.
So yeah.
Why don't you use them against him? And even then, I'm just like, I don't know. But there's that great scene in Wrath of Khan where Khan's like, listen, I really want the Genesis Project. So give me all the information. And Kirk's like, give me a minute. Let's pull it up in our computer. And they do that whole thing where he's like, what's the code to get access to their ship? Somebody look that up. And Khan's like, what are you guys talking about? Nothing, just trying to find it. and he's like, all right, I'll give you 60 seconds. And they're like, okay. What's her face? Kirstie Alley's like, what are you guys doing? And he's like, well, there's this code that you can use. I mean, yes, the code existing is very convenient for that moment. But they're like, there's this code you can use. We're going to use it to take their shields down. So, you know, prep all the torpedoes that you can.
Yeah.
And Khan's like, what are you guys doing? Time's up. And he's like, it's coming through now, Khan. Just 1 second. And I just love that scene and, like, how it's so, like, they're like, all right, so we're fucked, but I got an idea. Let's try it and see if we can try outsmart this guy. And it's just, like, a nice, it's a very obvious, like, all right, this is how we can beat him kind of moment. And I never got that moment in this one.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, you're right. Where I was like, oh, shit. I don't know. I enjoyed it, but, like, I don't know. The fact that they remade something that I had seen before and took so many cues from it, I was kind of like, ugh. I wish I had seen something and been like, holy shit, that really surprised me.
I hear you. It was still very solid, though.
Yeah. But I enjoy it. I just, I don't know. I'm just, I... And it's not even like I'm becoming a crotchety old man where I'm like, listen, I just like what I like, and I will only watch this type of movie. I'm like the opposite, where I'm like, yeah, I like those movies, but I want to see what else is out there.
Right.
So, I don't know. Hopefully in the next one they don't do a thing about whales.
Yeah, I hope not.
Actually, you know, I would kind of like to see that, but... I don't want to wait another, like, 3 years and then go to and sit through the theater and they're like, Captain, we need whales.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, oh, shit.
Yeah. No, I know. It's like waiting all this time for another Star Trek movie when you've pretty much already seen it.
Yeah. It's like if the next Bond movie was basically like the remake of Goldfinger.
Yeah. It's like, oh, okay, I like this story, and you did it well, but I've already seen this.
Yeah, give me something I haven't seen.
Right.
Give me something with even if they bring up like a race that I've seen before, like Klingons, I'm okay with that. Just, you know.
Yeah, I understand that it's got to fit within the Star Trek universe. It just doesn't have to be the same storyline.
Yeah, and I guess I figured at some point they would have to do Khan, but I guess I'm just upset that it was the
same story.
it was literally the same story, and that it was literally the next one that they did.
Yeah,
like they had a chance to do anything, and they were like, "Well, let's just do Khan again."
Yeah.
I'm also not entirely convinced about how Khan fits into the alternate timeline, but that's a nerdy nitpicky thing.
That's, you know what?
I mean, I'll admit it, but Khan was originally discovered when they went on the 5-year mission into deep space in the TV show. So somehow somebody else just happened to find Khan.
True. But with this whole alternate universe thing, you know, in the two timelines, it's...
Yeah, so I'll let it go, but I'm a little iffy. I'm a little iffy on stuff. Yeah. But anyway, and for the record, I was not upset by the Carol Marcus scene in her underwear. I don't know, people were in kind of a uproar about that.
No, I was not upset about it either.
Because here's my thing. Because that's the woman that he ends up having a son with in the other reality timeline, right?
I believe so.
So So I feel like they're just kind of setting that up and doing like a nod to that.
Right. And I didn't think it was too gratuitous.
It really wasn't. I mean, like, it wasn't like she was wearing something like extra skimpy.
No.
Where you're like, oh, come on. Like, now we're just getting out of hand.
Right. Like, she wouldn't be wearing that, but.
Yeah, like, it wasn't like he turned around, like, she had to, like, do the hand bra for tits or something like that.
That would be hilarious.
She was just basically in very, she's just in her underwear. And not, yeah. like, to a obscene degree, I thought.
No. And she looked great.
She did. But again, that just sets up, I feel like that's a nice nod to other stuff, including Wrath of Khan.
Exactly.
So, all right.
This has been But You're Wrong. I'm Greg DiNicola.
I'm Keith Bordella.
Remember to check us out every Wednesday and every Saturday for new episodes. Check us out on Twitter at BYW Podcast. Check us out on YouTube, also at BYW Podcast. Also, check us out on the Facebook at facebook.com/ButYou'reWrong. And make sure you check out Keith on the Amazon Marketplace, Not My Problem and Work in Progress. Search Bodayla, BODAYLA. And everyone, remember, no regrets. And if you really want to save your people, don't stick them in missiles.
It's just not right.
Dumb.